Friends, the greatest sacrifice is to love. That is what a couple, a husband and a wife, told me last week when I was in New Haven in the Overseas Ministry Study Center. The OMSC, the Overseas Ministry Center, is founded in 1922 and it seeks to provide a place for missionaries on furlough to recover, if necessary, from their health, and to have also their spirits lifted up by scripture and through fellowship before they return to the mission field. And it has grown over the years to a residential community for missionaries and church leaders and research scholars from around the world. And the resident host couple, they served for many, many years in the Far East. But in the end, they could not obtain a visa, and they had to leave the country. And they came to the OMSC in New Haven to rest, but also to reorient themselves, waiting upon the Lord, what the next step in life was. And only to discover that the Lord called them to serve in New Haven. To serve, to take care, to have fellowship, from those around the world, from those abroad, and to be there for missionaries and students and scholars from overseas. And I asked them, is it a sacrifice for you? Leaving a place that you loved, that you worked, that you shared the gospel for such a long time, and now here in New Haven. And there was a moment of silence. But then they answered. They said, when we grew up, we did not know who Christ was. But by his grace, we have learned Christ's great sacrifice to love us. And so, the little what we do here in New Haven is but an imitation of his great love to us, because he loved us first. Did he not say, love one another as I have loved you? Sacrificial love. And that is what we see also in this chapter that we read together in John 13. And this passage of scripture brings us just before the Passover festival. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover. And as we have entered the Passion season, a time of prayer, a time of reflection, a time of meditation upon Christ's suffering, a time to set our hearts, our minds, our affections to the cross, the ultimate sacrifice, and the ultimate display of God's love for a lost world, lost people, like you and me. John 13 opens with Christ washing the disciples' feet. And then follows with the announcing of Judas' betrayal, the verses 18 to 30, and closes with a brief discourse of Christ to his disciples. And there we find the text word of our meditation this morning. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Three brief main thoughts. In the first place, an old commandment that we did not keep and that we did not love. In the second place, commandments that Christ kept and loved. And in the third place, a new commandment we ought to love and ought to keep. A new commandment I give unto you. So Christ speaks to his disciples. Friends, it reminds us that God has given us commandments before. Commandments that you and I did not keep and do not love. Let's begin, for example, in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord commanded to Adam and Eve, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch, lest you die. But they ate, transgressed God's commandments. And we, you and I, in Adam. The second Bible book, Book of Exodus, chapter 20, words that are repeated in the Book of Deuteronomy. Words to his covenant people. God spake all these words, the Decalogue, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But also there we learn, they transgress God's commandments. For example, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And they built a golden calf. And so do we. Yes, even God's covenant people. How often do we not try to find our identity in something else than God? Even the book of Judges, they have the cycles of sin, not keeping God's commandments. And so do we, forgetting the Lord time and again. Fall in sin, fall for idolatry. Idolatry, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It's a sin problem that we see throughout Scripture. For example, the book of the major prophets, so-called major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, but also the minor prophets, an idol. Then and now, it is a thing loved or a person loved more than God, wanted more than God, desired more than God, treasured more than God, enjoyed more than God. Do I have to continue? Scripture, the commandments. Commandments that the Lord has given us for our good. But we do not keep them. And we do not love them. As the Apostle James reminds us, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Guilty of all. The Lord called us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, your neighbor as yourself. And we stand guilty in debt to God. A new commandment I give to you. Why can Christ say that? Because, friends, only he kept and loved all the commandments. Kept these and loved them where we cannot keep and did not love. And that this Passion Season 2018, that we are reminded why Christ suffered and died. As we are reminded in the text words of John 13, verse 34, as I have loved you. Friends, meditate about his love, his coming to this earth. He left a place of glory. Whereas the apostle writes to the Philippians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He was born in our likeness, continued the apostle. He humbled himself. And as we have read of Isaiah, he bore our grief, carried our sore, pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities, and becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In his obedience to the Father, He is a complete Savior. In his passive obedience, meaning Christ took the penalty that his people deserved. He died a death his people should have died. Died a death that you and I deserved and should have died. In his active obedience, meaning Christ lived the life his people should have lived. Lived a life you and I should live. Kept all of God's commandments and lived them. It is only Christ who truly could say, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Friends, if my sins were forgiven, but the rest is dependent on how well I was living, it is not only an imperfect, but it is also an incomplete salvation. But Christ is a complete Savior. The Heidelberg Catechism reminds us in question 18, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given unto us for a complete redemption and righteousness. Is it a comfort for you? Freely given unto me for a complete redemption and righteousness. Robert Murray McShane wrote, Christ is not just a dying Savior, he is a doing Savior. Also today, a substitute. As we confess with the canons of Dort, since therefore we are unable to make that satisfaction in our own persons and to deliver ourselves from the wrath of God, as we stand guilty to all his commandments. God has been pleased in his infinite mercy to give his only begotten Son for our surety. For our surety, who was made sin and became a curse for us in our stead, that he might make satisfaction to divine justice on our behalf. As the old form of the administration of the Lord's Supper so fittingly states, and meditate upon those words also in this Passion season, and read that form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, where he suffered innumerable reproaches, that we never be confounded, where he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix our sins, the handwriting of our sins thereon. That he has taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings. Where he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the forum states that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. That this Passion season, that by grace that you may echo the words of Charles Wesley, by thy dreadful death I pray, write upon my heart thy pardon, take my sins and fears away. By thine agonizing merit, gracious Lord, remember me. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest sacrifice is to love. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon a couple months before his own death in 1758. And he writes, Christ's sorrows abounded, but his love did much more abound. Christ's soul was overwhelmed with the loads of grief, but this was from a flood of love to sinners in his heart, sufficient to overflow the world and to overwhelm the highest mountain of your sin. Christ's drops of blood that fell down to the ground were a manifestation of an ocean of love in Christ's heart. His love. May I say this morning, for you and me, abound. His love, sufficient for the highest mountain of sin in your and my life. His love is an ocean of love for a people that cannot keep one of his commandments. Oh, that by grace, that by faith alone in Christ alone, that we are seen as righteous, that we are seen as obeying, not one, not two, but all the commandments for Christ's sake. That we are seen in our advocate and receive peace and pardon, but also love and delight. And that brings us to our last and third point. Christ facing his final suffering, facing the cross, facing death, says to his friends, a new commandment I give to you. Love you one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. As I, says Christ, this morning, here in chapel, have loved you. Seeing his great love for such one as you and me. Does he ask us too much? Does he ask us too much to keep this love commandment? To keep this new commandment for Christ's sake, for his sacrificial, self-denying love? See, ask you and me this morning, today, this Passion season, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Seeing his infinite love, his sacrificial love, seeing the depth of his love, what it cost him. Friends, meditate. Take time in your busy schedules of study and see the depth of Christ's love by the greatness of what it cost him. See the depth of his love for us, how little we deserved it. The more we are undeserving, the more amazing and deep is his love for us. Oh, see the depth of Christ's love for us, the greatness of the benefits we receive in being loved. If we are helped by an exam, we feel loved in one way. If we are helped to get a job, we will feel loved in another way. But when we are rescued from eternal death and given a place in the presence of God with fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, we will know a depth of love that surpasses all others. See then what kind of love the Father has given to us in Christ, that we should be called children of God. You see the wonder, not children of wrath, but be called children of God. Love is deep in proportion to its liberty, I recently read. If an insurance company pays you $2,000 because you wrecked your car, you usually don't marvel how much this company loves you. But if your church makes all your meals for a month after you have lost a loved one, or someone calls you every day and visits you every week, then we call it love, because they don't have to do this. It is free. It is willing. Oh friends, see then the depth of Christ's love for us in his freedom. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. An able Savior and an unwilling Savior. Just then the Lord asks us to miss in his word, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave him up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. If you love him, keep his commandments, says the apostle, and his commandments are not burdensome. Do you imitate this Savior with a sacrificial love? Are we, as a seminary community, a fragrant aroma? Is it seen in the seminary, the way of fellowship, that you love one another? Remember, says Christ, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do we have a servant attitude? As Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, supremely loved by the Father, he left heaven for earth to bring lost sinners from earth to heaven to himself. Are we truly servants, serving one another and those around us come in contact with? He who was born in our likeness, do we see the people we meet, not only here in the seminary, but maybe downtown, the homeless one, or the struggling divorced man or woman, or a deformed person, or someone with hurt and anger, or a white, or a black, or a yellow, or whatever your skin color is, or your culture. Or in the world in which we live, a lesbian or a gay, do we see one as created in God's image? Not any better than you and me, but in need of salvation, in need of Christ, the Savior. Do we, as a seminary community, carry the sorrows of others, share in the grief of those around us? Christ humbled himself. Yes, also here in the seminary, taking the lowest place. So what we see here in the verses 1 to 17 of John 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It's an explicit example for what he came for. Did not come to be served, but to serve. Oh, friends, let us remind ourselves that there should be no room for self-promotion. The business magazine Forbes identifies self-promotion as a leadership skill. But what is needed is servant leadership with Christ-like humility. Seeing what Christ has done for you. Love you. Servant leadership enriches the life of those around you, builds better organizations, seminaries, Bible school, churches, and creates a more just and caring world. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, must be your servant. It's the radical call of the gospel. To be served by Jesus. And we serve others. Should not Christ's sacrificial love transform us? Be imitators of him. To live out of him. This new commandment. What he has done. What you and I never can and could do. And therefore, as he loved you, that you also love one another. And in this way, moreover, to be a means of grace, a missionary means, an evangelistic means, as Christ reminds us in subsequent words of the text, verse 35, by this, when you love one another, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. But remember, Christ is not just an example. He is a substituting savior for sinners, for such one as you and me. These words, as recorded in chapter 13, are remembered by the Apostle John, as he remembered Jesus' words spoken before the feast of the Passover, as he writes years later in 1 John 3. I think that is how we should remember and practice these words, his words, the very word of God, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And so we also lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, write the apostle, the very word of God, brothers and sisters, students, brothers, faculty, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Love therefore one another, as Christ has loved you. Loves you to the end. Loves you with an everlasting love. Amen.